Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, speak up. Now put that finger right in their face and say, nothing moves until you speak. Turn to somebody else and tell them, nothing moves until you speak. So speak up. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to spend just literally 60 seconds rehashing a little bit. All of this you can hear on the podcast, wherever you download your podcast for free. The world wants us to believe, and man, it's becoming more and more prevalent, that if you think it, you can have it or be it. And that is simply not true. Thought life gives birth to some great things, but it's going to take a lot of energy and effort and discipline to see God's promises come to pass in your life. Because if that wasn't true, then we could just gather in here for 90 minutes on a Sunday and not say a word. We could just think thoughts. And then we could just go live a life full of God's favor, blessing, and promise. But it doesn't happen like that. There's a lot of things that go into seeing the promise of God manifested in our life, and it's not just our thought life. Our thought life is where it starts. Word life is where it finishes. Remember, your thought life shapes your obedience, which will determine your actions. We speak from a foundation. We'll get back to that word here in a minute. A foundation of faith, which is developed by knowing the Word of God. Can I encourage you, above all else in your life, make time for God's word every single day. And I'm not talking about tearing a scripture off of a calendar and reading it at 6:45 before you grab your breakfast and head to lunch or school. I'm talking about carving out 15, 20, 25 minutes of your day and spending time reading God's word, meditating on God's word, and applying. How can I make this word applicable to my life? Mark 11, verse 22, Jesus brings it down to these four words: have faith in God. Have faith in God's word, have faith in God's will, have faith in God's promise. Whatever you speak becomes your reality. Whatever you speak constantly becomes your reality. We've covered 9 declarations, and we'll cover the 10th one today, but very quickly, I am a child of God. I am forgiven and free. I am a new creation. Come on, somebody. God is always with me. Remember, his presence is permanent. I can do all things through Christ. No weapon formed against me will prosper. The Lord is my shepherd. I am healed by Jesus' stripes. I shared with you the testimony of one of our ushers here today, Brother Oscar, who in Wednesday night service a week ago, he was scheduled for surgery the next day and had a growth in and on his body. He said literally during the service, he felt that thing disappear, only to go home and find out that what was there was not there. What they were going to cut out of him the next day, he called and was able to say, I don't need surgery anymore. He stopped me during worship service today and said, hey, I went on Friday and they gave me a clean bill of health and said, I don't need to see you for a few months. How did that happen? By the stripes of Jesus' back, we are healed. And whether it is the great physician giving you a creative miracle or the great physician is guiding the hands of men and women that are physicians, I don't care how I get healed. I just know that Jesus said, by his stripes, it's already been paid for. And then we talked ending last session with number 9. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he. You got to realize that you carry anointing. You got to realize that you carry power. That when you walk into your job tomorrow, it's not like another employee. You're bringing Jesus with you. You're bringing New Testament with you. You're bringing signs and wonders with you. You're bringing the ability to cast out devils with you. You're bringing the ability to lay hands on the sick and they recover. You're bringing peace into chaos. You're bringing joy into despondency and depression. What you carry, praise God, should make a difference. But finally, here we go. We've been here for a few weeks. Number 10, I am more more than a conqueror. Romans 8, we are more than, you are not a survivor, you're a conqueror. You say, well, I'm a survivor, you're a conqueror. You say, well, I barely made it through. At the end of your life, nobody is going to be given accolades for barely making it through or dominating and making it through. All that you have to say is I made it through. I made it to the other side of what the enemy was designing to take me out. I made it through the storms that killed lesser people. I made it through all of the things that the enemy lined up against me. And so I didn't merely just survive, because surviving means mentalities that you barely scrape by. I am here to tell you, whether you ran the best, your personal best record, or you struggled to make it across the finish line, I'm here to announce to you that you have made it through 100% of every attack the enemy has come against you with. That is a reason to worship and praise God today. 100% of the sickness, you're living today. 100% of the strife, you're living today. 100% of people walking out on you, you're still alive today. You have outlived every attack the enemy has brought against you, and your record is not about to change now. You are not a survivor. You are more than a conqueror. Paul does not say we barely make it. He said we're more than conquerors. Let's break this word down in the Greek. Conqueror in the Greek comes from a word called hypernikeo. Hypernikeo, when we see conqueror, we think of one thing, but when Paul says it, he says, I want you to conjure up every definition in your mind of what a conqueror looks like. In my mind, when I hear conqueror, I automatically go to the sports arena. I think of people like Mike Tyson back in his heyday. I think of people like Conor McGregor in his heyday. I think of Michael Jordan, the best basketball player to ever walk the face of the earth in his heyday. I think of Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback to ever live in his. I knew I'd get an amen from this section. So I think of conquerors in that fashion. But then when I think of people in this room, I think of people that have beat cancer. That's conquerors. I think of people that had a rough upbringing and didn't ask for all the pain and trauma that you survived your first 10 or 12 years of life, but here you stand today and you're not making any excuses. You said that was then, but this is now. God has forgiven them. God has healed me inside and out. So I want you to think of what you think a conqueror is. Then Paul comes along and says, whatever you think a conqueror is, he said, you're more than that through Christ. I love that, because if God just said, I promise you, Brandon, that you will conquer everything that you will ever face in your life as long as you keep me at the pinnacle and priority number one in your life, you will always conquer. But Jesus, how many of you know, never just gives us just enough, praise God. He always gives us more than enough. So he says, not only are you going to win, not only are you going to conquer, I'm going to make sure that you realize that you are more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror doesn't mean that I just survivor, you just barely get by. More than a conqueror means I'm not just running past the finish line. I'm setting records. I'm breaking personal best and goals along the way. I am here to tell you, it is a lie from the enemy for you to celebrate barely making it when God said you are more than a conqueror. That's why before you ever get in your car or truck to leave the house, you ought to look in the mirror and say, I am more than a conqueror. Before you step onto your high school campus, I am more than a conqueror. But conqueror in the Greek is hypernikeo. It means super conqueror. Not just an ordinary conqueror, a super conqueror. Hyper in the Greek means over, beyond, more than. Nikeo is to conquer, to overcome, to be victorious. So when you put hypernikeo together, to go above and beyond just conquering, to go above and beyond just overcoming, to go above and beyond just being victorious. Here's the thing. There's a lot of us that once we cross over that line in Jesus, we take a big exhale like we have made it. Let me tell you something. Salvation is not the end all be all. Salvation is the first step of a million steps for the rest of your life. Can I encourage you? Don't camp out at the line of your salvation. Keep following Jesus. He's going to take you to the upper room. Keep following Jesus. He's going to take you to the Jordan to be baptized. Keep following Jesus. He's going to bring you joy unspeakable, peace that passes all understanding. Keep following Jesus. Your marriage is going to matter. Keep following Jesus. You're going to raise world changers. But a lot of us, we conquer and then we rest. We sit down. And Jesus said, no. Paul, tell them they are more than conquerors. They should never stop. They should keep moving, keep going forward. Hypernikeo. Nikeo comes from the root word Nike. You know that swoosh you see on your Air Jordans? Every time you see that symbol for the rest of your life, I don't want you to think of Air Jordan. I don't want you to think of the $300 or more that you dropped on those shoes. Every time you see that swoosh, whether it is at Foot Locker, in your closet, on a billboard, on your TV, I need it to remind you, Hypernikeo, I am more than a conqueror. I want every time you see that, for Jesus to speak to you in a random place on a Monday or Thursday and remind you, you are not like everybody else. I didn't call you to just live. I called you to live that Zoe, that abundant life, that more than life. Nike means victory. Yes, the shoe brand Nike, Nikeo, means victory. The literal meaning of hypernikeo is to be more than a conqueror or to completely and overwhelmingly triumph. How many of you played high school sports? Raise your hand. How many of you actually played? You didn't sit on the end of the bench. Raise your hand, okay? Different question. How many of you had a coach that wanted the games to be close because you wouldn't really listen in blowouts? I was a lot different than coach. Our district was very weak when I was a junior and senior in high school. And there was teams that we set records on every year. There's a school in Austin called Christ Community. We beat Christ Community 133-18. They were begging to come out of the game. We were begging to get in the game, stay in the game. Our coach didn't like those because he said, "You don't listen to me when you're up by 65. However, I love that because if I only beat you by one, you walk away saying, I could have beat them. One free throw and the game's tied. One missed shot on their end, one made shot on our end, and we win the game. Can I tell you that some of us have been barely beating the enemy? And the enemy wakes up every day saying, I could have had him yesterday if it hadn't been for that one little thing that went right at the last moment for them. Can I tell you that Jesus is not like your coach? He wants you to be more than a conqueror. He wants you to kick the devil's teeth in and dominate him so bad that there is no room for interpretation. There is no, I almost had him last Tuesday. No, you didn't. It was 133-18. Well, I almost had him back in June. No, you didn't. I was dominating you because I am more than a conqueror. This is not almost. This is not maybe. This is not might. I might get him. He knows with some of us that he should have got us a long time ago because now we're stronger. We're more anointed. We're more full of the word of God. You're more overwhelmingly. Doesn't mean to just win a battle. It means to utterly defeat, to overcome with superior force, and do so decisively and continually. If you're writing down notes today, write that word, to win decisively and continually. Can I speak prophetically to someone in the room today in this our year of Jubilee? You are not only going to win for the next 5 months, you're not only going to win for the next year, you are going to win decisively and continually. The winning streak you're about to go on
on you have never seen before. The way you're going to win, you have never had it happen like that before. And if you receive that word today and you're on your feet, go ahead and throw both hands up in the air and say, yes, Jesus, that's me.
Decisively and continually. The great apostle DJ Khaled, just want to make sure if y'all are awake. Someone asked him, they said, why don't you ever lose weight? And he said, because I don't lose, I win. He's winning. He's winning overtime. He's winning decisively and continually. But we've got to get in the mindset, church, that when you step on, it doesn't mean, remember, that our life is void of battles and our life is void of conflict. It doesn't mean that we are guaranteed an easy road. It just means that we're guaranteed victory. I just need you to know, whatever fight you fight in 2025, you are more than a conqueror. I just need to remind you, no matter what information comes to you by text, phone call, or email over the next 6 months, that you are more than a conqueror. I don't care what they say. I know what he said. I don't care what they're planning. I know what he has promised. And I am here to announce to somebody today that you are more than a conqueror. Decisively, continually. I don't ever want to go back to how it used to be. I'm tired of living so close to the line that if I fall the wrong way, I'll fall out of the will of God. I am focused, praise God. We are focused. Our eyes are set. Our face is set, and we realize that we are more than conquerors, continually, decisively. I told Pastor Mandy a couple weeks ago, I said, you're gonna love this last point, because this is like a battle verse. We're more than conquerors. And in my mind, I'm thinking 300, and I'm thinking Troy, and I'm thinking these epic battles. We are more than conquerors, and everybody's chanting, and everybody's ready to go, and you're getting hyped up, and all of these things. But here's the thing, church, hype fades. Emotions change. That's why if you've got to choose hype over holy or holy over hype, always choose holy. Holy will always live up to the hype, but hype sometimes doesn't lead you to holy. But listen to where this verse goes. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ. Man, what? That fires me up. Through Christ who loved us. We have this great war and battle verse that comes back to the love of Christ. The love of Christ. Church, listen to what I'm about to say. God will never have to beg you to fight if you love him like he loves you. He will never have to beg you to show up to boot camp if you love him like he loves you. I'm talking to somebody. He will never have to talk you into faith and talk you into promise and talk you into hope if you love him like he loves you. God's love is the source of your victory. The reason we are conquerors is not our own strength. It is through Christ who loved us. Love is the power behind the victory. God's love doesn't just comfort, it conquers. We look at that word love and automatically we get heart eyes and we think of a couple, or we think of marriage, or we think of relationship. And it can be all of those things, because love will comfort you, but love also conquers. Love conquers a lot of things that we don't give love the credit for. You know, there's a lot of times when you could have punched somebody in the face, but because you walk in love now, you conquered yourself. And by conquering yourself, you conquered the situation. Let's go beyond punch. Some of you, you're ready to kill somebody. Come on now. Don't act like you don't have a gun tucked in your waistband right now. If you do, we don't want to know about it. Times you could have went crazy, and I see you on the news. But the love that changed you has now changed your situation and the way that you react, the way that you approach the battle. Here's the way that love has affected my life, Christ's love for me and my love for him, is it allows me to finally figure out which battle am I fighting and which battle is not worth my time or my attention. Some of us are fighting battles because we stepped out of love and got into our flesh, and we want to teach them a lesson. We want to give them a piece of our mind. Let me tell you something, baby. Your future is too important. Your time is too valuable. You've got to let love lead your fight. Let love lead your fight. God's love doesn't just comfort, it conquers. And all these things, said in all these things, not apart from them. This verse does not ignore hardship. In fact, it assumes it. Paul refers to troubles and tribulation in verse 35. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Remember Romans 8, before we ever get to this place, Romans 8 is talking about what is separating us from the love of Christ. Why is he making such a big deal about that in Romans chapter 8? Because he knows there's a battle that we are facing, but we cannot win the battle if we are separated from his love. You know, the reason that my parents are still active and leading and pastoring and worshiping and all of the things that they do after 50 years in San Antonio, not because the battle's been easy, but they're governed by the love of Christ, and they still see a need. They say the battle's still worth fighting well into our 70s because we love God and he loves us. And because we love God and he loves us, we now love people. Let me tell you something, this world is changing. This world's a lot different than when my parents were born in the 40s and the 50s. But it doesn't change the fact that they're still on the battlefield. They haven't taken off their armor. Why? Because of love. Nothing in 50 years has separated us from the love of Christ. So we're going to spend the rest of our lives battling to bring people into the distinction or the intersection of that love. Victory happens in the storm, not when it's over. It says, shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword separate us? Some of us want to claim that we're conquerors and we never leave the bedroom. Some of us want to claim we're conquerors and we never talk about Jesus other than Sundays from 11 to 12:30. There's a battle out there. And I'm not telling you to go out there and be violent and be jerks for Jesus. I'm telling you to go out there and love, but go out there understanding there is something that we are fighting for. There is something that we are fighting against. And nothing has separated me from the love, so I'm going to bring that love with me. And that's what allows me to say, no matter what it looks like, what is coming against me, I am more than a conqueror. Give me just a couple more minutes. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which means nothing can separate you from the victory. His victory, our victory. Romans 8 continues with the assurance that nothing separates us from the love of God. Remember that the love is the source of strength that makes us more than conquerors. Love is your unchanging anchor. In Christ, I live in victory. I overcome every challenge. I win. To close this out, going back to Mark chapter 11, verse 22, then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. Before you can make these 10 declarations that we've covered the last few weeks, you have to have faith in God. Otherwise, they're just syllables and words coming out of your mouth, but they don't mean anything. Faith isn't optional. Faith is foundational. Faith is not a suggestion. It is a command. Faith speaks boldly. We need you to get some bass in your voice. We need you to speak, not hoping that it does, knowing that it will change. Speak to the adversary with faith. Speak to your situation with faith. Jesus doesn't say, listen to what I'm going to say here. Jesus doesn't say to pray about the mountain. He says, speak to the mountain. Some of us are praying to God about God, things that God has already told us to say. Some of us are wasting your time and God's time praying for things. He said, I don't need you to pray about the mountain. I need you to speak to the mountain. You're praying to me, and I'm just giving you the words to say and speak. And when you speak that, what you're wanting me to do, when you speak it, it will be done. Doubt is the enemy of God's promises manifested in our lives. Doubt divides your heart. Stand on your feet, church. Doubt divides your heart. Faith unites your heart. Let me say that again. Doubt divides your heart. Faith unites your heart. One of my favorite preachers on the planet said something. And listen, when you put a microphone in our hand for hours a week, there's going to be times where we say things that you need to check and be like, that wasn't in the Bible. That was a bad day. Now, if I do that 3 or 4 times in 1 week, you might want to start looking for a new church. Most pastors aren't going to tell you that. Everything we say needs to be governed by this book. And you need to match it and make sure. So I didn't throw in the towel and quit listening to one of my favorite preachers. But he said, you can be fearful and faithful at the same time. I said, no, you cannot. Because the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. If faith pleases God, then fear displeases God. If you have faith and fear at the same time, how does that work? You either have faith or you don't. It's kind of like being pregnant. You either are or you're not. Well, I'm kind of pregnant. No, you're not. I don't care if you're a day pregnant or 9 months pregnant. You're pregnant. And if you don't believe that, you probably believe in killing babies. Oh, that wasn't in the notes. Let's get back. Doubt divides your heart. Faith unites your heart. James 1:6. But let them ask in faith. But let them ask in faith. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not think or suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. I knew it'd get quiet there because usually when we preach anything, we preach it the other way, that God will give you anything that you ask for. Here it says, when you and I have doubt, don't think that God will give you anything. You want him to heal you from cancer? With doubt, he can't even cure your cough. You want him to pay off, you're about to be foreclosed on, but you can't give? You can't sow? There's so many times where I've said the right thing on Sunday, but I doubt it on Monday. And it doesn't matter what I believed 24 hours ago. It matters, is there doubt in my life in this moment? Don't let them think they'll receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. I'm talking to those of you after these few weeks, and it's not because you haven't tried, and I don't like that word try, but it works here. It's not because you haven't tried to speak to the mountain. It hasn't because you haven't tried cleaning up your confession and declaration life. Is that faith is like a house of cards. It takes a long time to build. But one little movement and one card coming out from the bottom of the foundation and the whole house crumbles. I remember when Tyler was going through some stuff years ago, and he would share some of this, so I don't think he would mind me sharing it, but he made a couple decisions one night that literally destroyed our trust in him. And I remember sitting there that night, 2-3 a.m. in our living room, and I don't know why we do this, but when we have those family meetings in the middle of the night, no lights are on, we're just sitting there in the dark. And I remember telling him, I said, Ty, for the last 16 years, you've built all of this trust, and then you just burn it all to the ground one night. It's going to take a long time for your mother and I to be able to trust you again. How many times do we stand in an altar and speak to mountains? How many times do we go to Devo after Devo and worship session and camp and conference and service and all of these things, Sunday school and Catalyst Kids and Catalyst Youth, all of these things, building our faith only for one moment of doubt to undo everything. And then we speak to the mountain and it doesn't move. And instead of blame going here, we start blaming everyone else, and ultimately we blame God. I've heard people, church, I've heard people say, you know, I was ready to do it, but God just, it's not God. It's you. It's me. It's us. But I say this as clearly as I can today, and I want you to hear my heart, because I know I'm brash and I make a lot of just faith-punching comments all the time. But I really do believe that there's a few dozen in this house that you've been speaking to mountains. And you've been so frustrated because you read the word and then the mountains don't move. And you're thinking, what could it be? What's causing this? What is standing in between me? But I think over the last few weeks, we have unwrapped that. That it's a foundational thing, where you're standing and what you're standing on. You believe only, and you don't doubt. There's a gentleman, what's the that white rapper singer? He broke his back a couple weeks ago. Forrest Frank. I don't know Forrest. Seems like a cool dude. His style of music's really not my jam, but more power to him. Reach a lot of people for Jesus. He broke his back skateboarding. Number one rule after you turn 21, quit skateboarding. Your bones don't bounce back like they used to. Broke his back multiple places, multiple fractures. And he got on yesterday on TikTok, I saw. And he got up, forgot to put his brace on, picked up one of his kids, and he was halfway into his morning routine before he realized no back brace, no pain. 2 weeks after, multiple fractures in his back. God still works miracles and moves mountains. Whether it's relational, financial, whether it's in your brain, your mind, whether it's in your spirit, there's mountains to be moved. There's mountains to be moved. I've got some personal mountains that I'm wanting to see move. So I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to us. Because I've been speaking to some mountains for years that have not budged. But now with these declarations, I know the foundation of faith that I'm standing on. The God that I serve and the Holy Spirit that fills me, that when I speak, praise God. So I'm talking to the frustrated. I'm talking to the disenfranchised that are in this room today, that you've been speaking and nothing has happened. Can I just encourage you? I'm going to need you to clear your voice. I'm going to need you to get ready to speak again. But before you do, I'm going to invite you to join us in this altar right now. There's some things that you need to speak into your family, some things you need to speak into your business, some things you need to speak to the mirror. There's some things that you and I need to say. I'm a big confession guy. You should never worry about what I say. You should worry when I grow silent. When I grow silent, it's because I can't trust what my mouth would say. There are phrases that Mandy and I have taken out of our vocabulary the last 10 or 12 years. We don't say things like, I can't afford. We never say things like, I'm sick, I'm not feeling well. If you are sick, I will never message you and ask you how you're feeling. How you're feeling is pointless. I ask you how you're doing. Because doing's your choice. Doing's my choice. I'm not going to tell you that you're never going to feel under the weather. I'm just going to tell you not to give into that feeling. I'm going to tell you that you are more than a conqueror. You are over the weather, not under the weather. You are not broke trying to get rich. You are wealthy that is going through a season where the enemy has stolen everything that you need. You are not sick trying to get healed or healthy. You are healthy, and the enemy is coming against you with all that he can to drag you back to being sick and being messed up. It's all in your declaration, church. What you speak is what you'll see, and nothing moves until you speak. If you're in this altar, lift both hands to heaven. If you're in this house today and you've never said yes to Jesus, this is your moment. These declarations will not work unless you are a child of God. The very first declaration we make is, I am a child of God. That was number one. If you're ready to say yes to Jesus, he will adopt you into his family. It's an amazing thing. He will save you from an eternity damned in a real place called hell. Your destination will switch to a real place called heaven. And he said, on this earth, in this life, you will have life and life in abundance. Zoe life. If you've never said yes to Jesus, this is your moment. If you're ready to be baptized in water, this is your moment. And if you are ready to be filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have seen it happen over 120 times in the last 10 days here at Living Way through our services and events. If that's you, this is your moment. If you're sick, let's pray about it, because you're healthy, praise God, in Jesus' name. If you're broke or you need God to move in that arena, let's talk about it. Let's pray about it. Let's speak to it. But before you do any of that, have faith in God. If you're in this altar, have faith in God. They said you're going to lose your house. Have faith in God. He said the marriage is over. Have faith in God. The doctors want to see you next week. Have faith in God. Think about leaving the church and leaving the faith. Have faith in God. In Jesus' name, let's pray.